ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नामत्र गुणाचस्तत्त्व विद्यते सनिवर्गानुवृत्तस्य The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Sanatata, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction, either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. So Krishna here used the word Tata. Tata actually means a friend. Sometimes Tata also is used by a father to call his son, as Tata is. Tata word represents a very special affection towards a child. So Krishna said, oh my dear Arjun, don't be worried like this. One who has performed the Kalyanakrit means the auspicious activity, he will never face Durgati. He will never face destruction. If one has performed the good, he will never face destruction. So what is this good or Kalyanakrit? It's a very important question, isn't it? Because there are different people in the world who claim to be doing good. So whose verdict of the word good can we take? We can take the verdict of the Shastras about what is good and what is bad. Shastras tell us that there are two classes of people, regulated and non-regulated. Very simple. Regulated people follow the injunctions of the scriptures, and non-regulated people do not abide by the laws of the scriptures. They completely ignore the scriptures properly. And amongst the non-regulated people, somebody may be educated or uneducated, somebody may be civilized and uncivilized, and someone may be weak and strong. All these people, those who are non-regulated, are called as their activities are all called as inauspicious. For example, there are so many people who are very educated, and educated people are so much respected in society. Education immediately attracts the attention of other people, and people salute you. But then even if one is so educated, but if he ignores God completely, or if he is atheistic, then all his activities are inauspicious. Like when Srila Prabhupada went to the West to preach, there were so many educated scholars. There was one great who was actually in the Department of Philosophy. So he hardly knew anything about the actual purpose behind the scriptures. He didn't know who Krishna is. He thought of Krishna to be an ordinary human being. And he had many, many students who had come with him to meet Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told all those students that he was being cheated by his professor, because although he is teaching you, indirectly he is actually cheating you without giving the meaning of the scriptures. That is why there are so many versions of Srimad Bhagavad Gita purports, interpretations, more than 800 in India. So people think you can purchase any one of those interpretations, but we will be cheated, because none of those interpretations are able to make anyone a devotee of Krishna. And it is surprising how when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, even the most fallen people read the Bhagavad Gita, understood the philosophy, and became great devotees. Even those who are completely degraded in their activities, very, very fallen, they became great devotees. So, but challenge is that those people who are educated in universities, the best of universities in the world, they are going to the restaurants, liquor shops, they are going to the prostitution centers, they go to horrible places. They don't have any control of mind and senses. So these people may go on in the name of educators, but their activities are all inauspicious. Although they may even write papers, international papers they may publish. Like there are many great scientists in organizations like DAFR or DARC or IIT, IIM. So these are all respectable institutes in India. And there are many basic scientists there. I've heard some names of some South Indian scientists, friends from South India who are working in such leading institutions. And if you see their lifestyle, you feel very sorry for them. They publish papers in international magazines, but they don't have any character. They are characterless people. They don't have any rules, no regulations of belief in God. They live lives exactly like animals. So, the non-educated class of people may be educated, or they may be uneducated. Some people are uneducated, but they still don't have any faith in God. Just because somebody is uneducated, it doesn't mean he will bow down before God. Sometimes even uneducated class of people are atheistic. Similarly, they may be civilized or uncivilized. Like sometimes we become attracted when we see professional companies. When you go, they maintain the atmosphere so thick and span. When you see the cleanliness in a company, you think these are really gentlemanly people. Like in Singapore, there was a computer company where it was so thick and span, neat and clean. And people are well dressed in coat and suit and shoes and shaking each other's hands. They appear to be perfect gentlemen, very civilized people. But those people, when the company gets over, they would come down, and at the ground floor, there was a shop where they are supplying different kinds of bloods of different animals. And they would be directly drinking hot blood of animals, and they were going back in the evening, of different animals. What kind of civilization is that? So they appear to be externally clean, but they are internally, their heart is not clean. So what is the use of such a civilization? There are the others who are uncivilized, who may not have etiquettes and manners, their behavior, they may be living in slums. But if they are not worshipping God, again they are coming under non-regulated category. Some are very weak and others are very strong. Like somebody may be a cinema actor and may be able to influence thousands of people. Or somebody may be a great dancer like Michael Jackson, attracted 70,000 people or so. So they may attract thousands of people when they come. But if they are not God conscious, again their activities are all inauspicious. Somebody may be strong, politician, or a lawyer, or a doctor, or an engineer. They may be in very big positions, but their activities are all considered inauspicious. And the regulated class of people are those who abide by the law of the scripture. So, the scriptures are teaching us the most valuable information. The shastras talk about a kripana and a brahmana. Kripana, the meaning of the word kripana is actually a miser. Kripana literally means a miser. Like somebody may have portions of wealth, but he may not buy it for God conscious activities. Although somebody may have a small well, he may not mind giving some water to his neighbors and other people when there is a scarcity of water. So this is actually from the Niti Shastra. The Niti Shastra says, somebody who has a well may spare water, but that water is considered very sweet. And another wealthy man may have ocean of wealth, but he may not give in dan, charity. And his wealth is considered like a ocean because it is salty. That it is not used for parapaka. It is not used for anyone's service. But on the other hand, somebody who has little wealth, if he gives charity from that little wealth, that's like a well water. It may be little in size, but then it is at least used for other benefit like that. In the same way, a kripana is called as a miser. One who has a great facility, but does not use it for the right purpose. What is the facility that is given to us? Anybody can say? Human body, human form of life. We see that we are all under human form of life, but majority of the human beings are whiling away the time in useless activities. You know, Bernard Shaw made a statement, you know? Anybody know? There are 11 fools batting and 11,000 fools watching, he said. You know? What is that game? Cricket. So human beings are just whiling away the time in activities that are not connected to soul at all. Manasseh is a great writer. You cannot deny what he says. So if we say that, people will say he's too fanatical. So even sometimes ordinary boys, ordinary people understand this. How people while away their time. They are just imitating the animals. The kangaroo is jumping, they are jumping in pole vault. Imitating the kangaroo. Our fishes are swimming in the ocean, so they also want to have a swimming competition. A horse is running fastly, they want to imitate the horse and they want to go for athletic competition. In my school days, I remember we were doing frog race, you know, frog race, something like a frog. And many things like that, sack race. God has given you legs, why do you need to go inside a sack? People do all kinds of activities which are not told in the Shastras at all. Nobody has told you to do that. I remember I participated in a competition. You have to keep a spoon in your mouth, you have to keep a lemon, then you have to walk, you know. People train themselves to do activities which you are not at all ordered to do in the Shastra. Why should human beings wear away the time? Exactly like that. And not only that, even if they do education, even in education also, they are conducting research in such fields which are not going to help them in their ultimate welfare. They do not even know who they are. Prabhupada went to Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and he asked the students there, where is the department which teaches you about the soul? They said, we don't have one. Then what is the use of your college, Prabhupada? MIT is considered very famous in the world. Prabhupada challenged them, because they are teaching everything for the body and nothing for the soul. This is called as a Kripana civilization. Eke Tatmahano Jana. In Isha Upanishad it is said, Satyukra called as Atmaha, killer of the soul. Like a fool, he was sitting at the top of a tree. He was sitting in a branch and he took the axe and he was cutting. One wise man was passing by, asked him, you fool, you are sitting on the rear end of the branch and you are cutting the branch, what will happen to you? He said, don't trouble me. I am busy cutting. So you know what would have happened to that fellow. So cutting off the branch, he will fall down on the ground and break his head. In the same way, this civilization is ultimately going to lead us to destruction. It's Kripana civilization. A civilization is simply based on the body. That is the meaning of non-regulated. People are so non-regulated in their lifestyle that they have no understanding of God, nor are they interested to know about God. They just are running madly here and there for different types of enjoyment. In fact, they want to find out newer and newer ways and means to squeeze out some enjoyment from this world without understanding God. Actually, Krishna is called as Rasavigraha. Rasavigraha means one who is a reservoir of all pleasure. If you have a reservoir, the reservoir is the one that supplies pleasure to every other thing, isn't it? Like you have a reservoir of electricity, hydroelectric power station, that supplies electricity to all the other EVs. And then you can get illumination in your house. Similarly, Krishna is called Rasavigraha, is a reservoir of all pleasure. Unless you connect yourself to him, you cannot get pleasure. But those who don't want to connect themselves to God, at the same time want happiness, what can they do? They only have to imagine happiness. Like the Prabhupada said, the example of somebody who wanted to enjoy a sugar cane. He was wrongly informed by the other person. The other person drew a picture of sugar cane and showed him. So this fellow went in search of sugar cane and what did he get? A bamboo stick. He started biting with the bamboo stick. It was only leading him to bleeding. Like the people are trying for happiness by doing all kinds of things other than Krishna consciousness. All non-regulated activities. Like in our temple, in our next door, we have another, some hotel or something. So maybe New Year or something. I don't know what was the occasion. But I could hear the sound which was coming through the walls. So I can share with you what I heard. So there were many families, husbands and wives, who had come for a party there. And there was somebody who was leading the entire group. So they were telling the people what they should do. Now they will say, bird, 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 they will say, so they have to do their hands like this. Now when they say animal, 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 then they have to do like this. Like animal, they have to walk like an animal. Then they will say bird, bird, animal, animal, bird, 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 animal. Like that they will say, they keep on moving. So they have devised some game by which people have to change and some people become out and some don't become out or whatever. So these are all actually arising from mental speculation, different kinds of games, in order to squeeze out some happiness. But they are not able to become happy just by doing all that. So you are given a human body, why should you become a bird or animal? Isn't it? So these are all simply different ways to squeeze out happiness. People don't know what to do. They know that if you are at home, people are fighting, so they think, let us at least go for a party and do something or the other to squeeze out happiness. So many different games they are playing that day. Till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Different kinds of games. Useless. Completely useless. Good for nothing. Wastage of time. We are actually not the body. The most fundamental fact is, the body is simply a covering. body is an empty shell. You see a dead skeleton how it is. That is the condition of this body. And the soul, spiritual part which is activating the body is completely different from the body, other from the body. Unfortunately, he is trapped in this body and trying to seize out different types of enjoyments in this non-regulated way. So whether they are educated or uneducated, weak or strong, civilized or uncivilized, the Shastras declare that these people are useless, foolish people, wiling away all their time. And in the regulated class of people, even amongst them, not everyone is considered to be performing auspicious activities. Like somebody called Mangal Karyalai, who has an auspicious Karyalai. But it's simply, like one man was telling us, just yesterday he came, he said, we are conducting 100 marriages for 100 boys and girls without any asking them to spend a single penny. We are doing a very auspicious activity, conducting these marriages. So you don't have to conduct marriages, they happen automatically between men and women. If they don't have money, they will somehow come together and they will spend little bit. So they consider this a very auspicious activity. Or such activities are considered auspicious, like you know, they have this Mangalkari Samiti. They go from village to village, street to street, and they clean. They may clean one street. And they say, we have done a Mangalkari activity for one street. But they are causing disturbance to the other street. Similarly, welfare activities like, you know, giving uniforms, giving water, or, you know, providing some food, clothing, shelter, these are all considered auspicious. But Shastra says, these activities may be considered good from a material viewpoint. But they have no stand in spiritual life. You will be rewarded for this activity. Sometimes when people even give charity, you just give charity to anybody. But the scriptures say, if you give charity, closing your eyes to anybody, and if the other person misuses that charity, then the reaction, part of the reaction will come to you. That is charity actually given in mode of ignorance. And if charity is given with the expectation of result, then it is charity in mode of action. Only a charity that is given for the sake of purification of heart, then it is in the mode of goodness. So, one has to understand what is actually auspicious. Even if one performs different kinds of religious activities, like somebody may be performing activity like yajna, dana, tapa, for the sake of elevation to higher planets. Is that considered auspicious? After all, it is coming into religion. It is coming into the purview of religion. Still, it is not considered auspicious. Why? Because they are giving up a lower sense education for a higher sense education. That's all. So even that is not considered auspicious. That may be appreciated because it is following the injunctions of the scripture, but it is not considered auspicious, not very auspicious. But the real meaning of auspiciousness actually begins from the point when one wants to get out of the material world and go to the transcendence. From that only the real auspiciousness begins. Because many people, Prabhupada says, in India, people are so much attached to performing punya activities, past activities. I was hearing the Ganapati temples, they are overloaded with people. There is no place. Flooded with people. People perform pious activities like that. People are in India, Prabhupada says, people are more fond of pious activities than devotional service. They cannot understand devotional service, but they are ready to perform pious activities. But there was once a king who was also performing pious activity called Mrida. This king was giving hundreds and thousands of cows in charity to so many brahmanas. But what was the ultimate result? Once when he was giving cows like that, one of the cows which he gave to one brahmana came out of the lot and it went into the crowd of the other brahmana. And then the first brahmana came searching for the cow. He asked, where is the cow? He gave me. It has gone to the other brahmana, seated back. And then Mrida asked him, please give back the cow. I will give you 1,000 cows in return for this one cow. Other Brahmana said, you already given me, I cannot give it back. So they had a tussle. So the first Brahmana wanted only that cow. Other Brahmana was not willing to give it back. So Mrida was caught in a pit and he didn't know what to do. And both the Brahmanas, they were displeased with him. And they went away. So because of displeasing this Brahmana, although he did a good activity, a so-called pious activity, the next lifetime he became a lizard. Just see, it's not a punya, can a punya lead a person to become a Liga? Actually, Liga was told that you have performed little simple activity and a lot of past activity. So either you can go to heaven or you can suffer a lower birth for a short period of time. Which would you prefer? Then he thought, then he said, okay, let me suffer first. and then you can enjoy for a long time afterwards. Then you are given the body of Lita. But somehow or other, Lita has performed one spiritual activity, Krishna conscious activity. He has given some charity to the Vaishnava devotee who wanted to construct a temple. He has given. He wants to construct a Krishna temple. So because he has given a charity, in the next life he was not only a lizard, he was born as a lizard in Vrindavan. He was inside a well. When the covered boys went to see a well, they found his big lizard there. They tried to pull it out and they couldn't. Then Krishna came there and Krishna touched the lizard and immediately the lizard turned into a beautiful demigod after that. Then came Buddha, explained everything that happened. So why did he quote this example? What was the purpose of quoting this example? What was Even if one has pious activity, it is a Dhumena Vete Vandhya Ritolvena Malena Chatham. In this world, all activities Krishna says perform to have some kind of imperfection associated with it. Every activity performed. Nobody can say, I am free from all imperfection. So why performing punya is some imperfection comes in the picture, then there is a possibility that one may have to get punishment also. Like that. Whereas a jnani who says, okay, we will give up all activities and we will go to the forest and we will live a very pure life. Actually, jnani is after for transcendence. They want to go beyond this material world. They want to cut across the cycle of birth and death and go to the Brahman. So that activity is certainly considered auspicious. If one desires pure spiritual activity beyond this world, it's considered auspicious. Prabhupada writes here, you see, the only auspicious activities are those which lead one to liberation. Any activity which is not aimed at ultimate self-realization or liberation from the material bodily concept of life is not at all auspicious. So the jnana's activity is certainly a beginning of auspiciousness. So the jnani may leave everything of the world and begin the path of his spiritual life. But even such a person may not achieve complete success. He may also fall. Like we see in Chaitanya Chaitanya, it is said, Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, Kami. Three types of Kami are there. Bhukti Kami, Mukti Kami, Siddhi Kami, Sakale Ashanta. All these three people are not peaceful people. Why are they not peaceful? Bhukti Kami wants material enjoyment, so his mind is always restless. He is looking for material benefits here and there. And the Mukti Kami wants to desire liberation from material bondage. Even he is said to have a material desire. Why? Because he wants to merge into God and become one with God. And he claims to be himself as God. And the Siddhi Kami wants different siddhis like anima, lagima, mahima, prapti, by which he wants to make a show to the world. What kind of siddhis I can show? So all these people are restless people. That's why you see the great jnani like Saubhari Muni, who went underwater to perform penance. He was distracted simply by observing these two fishes mating. When he came out, he had the power of his austerity. He had the ability to chant mantras. He had the ability to perform severe austerities. His body was completely emaciated. His head was shaking. He had grey hair. And completely all his body had become slack. He was a very old man when he came from water. But the desire for enjoyment had not gone. That is why he said, even a Mukti Kami, he may apparently be performing severe penance underwater, but then the desire for enjoyment has not gone. It is very much there inside. So he went to the great king Mandata and begged him, please give me one of your daughters in marriage to me. And Mandata saw the condition of Saubhari Muni and thought, how can I give my daughter to him? This fellow is looking so emaciated looking. And after he is a yogi, which of my daughters would want to marry him? Then Mandata very interestingly told him, I have given the charge to my daughters. Whomever wants to marry whichever person I am going to give them, please charge for selection. And then Saubhari Muni understood the mind of the king. Then by the chanting the mantra which he knew, he transformed himself into such a beautiful youth, which will be greatly sought even by the celestial women like Dr. He transformed himself into such a beautiful youth. Then the king told the servant to take him in the antarpur. When he took him to Andhrapur, all the 50 daughters of Mandata, they started fighting with one another. They said, this man is just meant for me and he is not meant for you. They all wanted to marry him. They gave up their sister relationship and they started fighting. And he married all of them. And he used his ability to chant the mantras for what? For creating hostel, palatial, bungalow. It was filled with so many facilities. There were beds, there were seats for receiving the guests, there were ornaments, there were jewels, there were garments. And he had created such a beautiful garden which was filled with lakes, there were lotuses, there were fragrant flowers, there were birds chirping, there were bees humming. And in the house there were so many decorative items and sandalwood pulp and different types of scented oils. In this way he created all these material facilities with his yogic power to chant the mantra. So, like Prabhupada writes the example of a civil engineer. Like a civil engineer has done 4 years of education, but using his talents, he may create a big mansion. He may erect a 100-story building. So he is converting his sound vibration into a tangible reality. Similarly, Saubhrimini also knew some subtle mantras to chant by which he could create material facilities like that. Vedic times people were talented to convert sound vibration into a tangible reality. But that was not the purpose of chanting mantra. Divichan mantra for that? That was not the purpose. So he was actually in one sense performing an auspicious activity. He was a jnani. He was performing a penance. But he was not actually a devotee of Krishna. He was simply a jnani. Same thing happened with Vishwamitra also. So, even in the path of transcendence, it is always a path of threat. Yes, people can again fall back. Why do they fall back? Because Prabhupada gives the example of a rocket. When the rocket goes in the sky, when there is no place to land, it has to fall back. Like the skylark fell down. Like the rocket falls back. Similarly, a yogi who does not believe in the sakar, the akar, the form of the Lord, where is the lotus feet for him to take shelter? Varpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karma sayam ratidamudratayam tisantah tadvannarittamatayo jatayo tirudda soto ganastamaranam bhajavasu devam. It was said, Varpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. Those devotees who are, great devotees who are taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, and they are actually doing vilas in the Lord's lotus feet. Vilas means, you heard the word bhoga vilas? Bhoga vilas means material enjoyment. Here, bhakti vilas is saying. They are having vilas in bhakti. So they are releasing the path of Krishna consciousness. So such releasing path of Krishna consciousness, they will never be attacked by the waves of sanctification. Because such a bhakti can counteract the waves of sanctification. Whereas the jnani, they don't believe in the Lord's form, where is the lotus feet to take shelter? They don't believe in the lotus feet of the Lord, so they come back like the rocket. Patanti ado anadhita ishmarandaya. Patanti means they fall back without having taken shelter of the Lord's feet. So, even in the part of auspiciousness we can see that even if one is following this jnana mark, thinking that the absolute is impersonal, Prabhupada writes in another purport that the impersonal Brahman and Paramatma are not incorrect understanding but incomplete understanding of the absolute truth. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is the complete understanding. And Brahman is actually the bodily rays of Krishna. And Paramatma is his partial manifestation. Krishna expands himself as Paramatma. So, the topmost auspicious activity is the activity of a devotee. Here in this Bhagavad explains that if one performs devotion service, then he is not expected to perform any other activity. An average human being has varieties of duties towards various people. Like in a family, your wife is supposed to be very chaste and faithful to her husband. And the husband is supposed to be protective of the wife. And the children are supposed to be grateful to their parents. So everyone has a prescribed duty and they all are interconnected, interwoven in a family. So everyone has duty. Nobody can shun their duty. Similarly, we have duty towards many others also. Like we have duty towards the sages, like Vyasa has written the Srimad Bhagavatam and many other scriptures. The sages, they are called Srikala Jnani. They know the past, present and future, and they know the Lord's instructions, and they have written scriptures, they have given transcendental knowledge. So we have duty towards the rishis. Similarly, we have duty towards the demigods. Because they are supplying water, they are supplying air, they are supplying agni fire, they are supplying all the necessary supplies. They are supplying the grains, they are supplying the fruits, whatever basic necessities are required for our survival. So we have a duty towards the demigods, and we also have a duty towards other living entities. Like for example, a cow. A cow gives milk. Cow is actually considered one of the seven mothers. The Guru Patni, Brahman Patni, and the king's wife, as well as the cow, the earth, and one's own mother, and the nurse. They all are considered to be mothers. So cow is also one of the mothers. Who is that? One of the living entities which is benefiting the human being. So we are taking milk from the cow, so we have a duty towards protecting the cow also. Like that. And we have duty towards our relatives. There are so many relatives. One may have brother, sister, uncle, aunt, grandfather, grandmother, other relatives in his family. Or one may have general people in society, because when we talk of society, in society people are interdependent, isn't it? One is depending on the other. Ravana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, they all live together and they are depending on one another. So we have duties towards them also. But it is said, Deva Rishir Bhuta Atman Rinam Pitrinam Nakin Karonayam Vinicharajan. If one becomes a devotee of Lord Krishna, Mukunda, all these duties, which I said just now to all of you, he absolves from all these duties. Nakin Karo. You know the meaning of the word Kinkar? Kinkar. Yeah, servant. The Kinkar word comes from Kim Karomi. If you fold your hands and stand in front of someone and ask him, Kim Karomi, what can I do for you? From that word came Kinkar. Na Kinkaro, he is not a Kinkar. A what? Na ayam Rini Charajan. You know the word Rini? Debtor. Rini means debtor. Na Kinkaro, na ayam Rini Charajan. He is not Rini to any of these people whom I told you just now. Why? Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gatava Mukundam Parahitkatakam. He has taken shelter of Mukunda, who is worthy of taking shelter, he says. Lord Mukunda is worthy of taking shelter. He says, Gatava Mukundam, what is this? Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam. Sharanyam is worthy of shelter. He has done Sharanam, this is Lord Mukunda. So he is absorbed from all his duties. And such a person who has surrendered to Lord Mukunda, he is absorbed from all the duties. That is actually the platform of transcendence. That is actually the real, the most auspicious activity. That is why there are great devotees who might have apparently given up their material duties and were cursed by society. Sometimes Tukaram, people say he has left their duties to his family. He didn't serve his wife. Went away from the family chanting with such names. Or like there was one great Vaishnava, his name was purified of the negative tendencies before one completely takes up the path. You know that? That in the Jnanamar, the house of the are not permitted in Jnanamar city. One has to be sannyasi. But in South, in Chakramatakal, they take small children like when they are 6 or 7 years old. They make them sadhus, saintly people, and they can't even see their parents ever after in their life. And they are kept in a secluded place. I think this kind of treatment will not help. Because you may try to take a child away from the parents and make him a sannyasi, but then when he grows up, when he achieves maturity, he may want to see his father, mother, he may develop attachment, isn't it? So one has to have properly surrendered himself. So sometimes they do like that in the path of Jnanamar, one has to have complete freedom from sex life. Otherwise, they are not accepted as transcendent. Even in Assam Yoga also, Chitodeshe Pratishtha, in that it comes. Brahmachari Vidyasitra, isn't it? It is said there also. But in Bhakti Yoga, in Bhakti Mark, small children, old people, married, unmarried, youth, all kinds of people are accepted. How is it? This shows the potency of the path of devotional service. Because the other path demands At first you perform Nishkama Karma Yoga and gradually purify yourself, and when you are completely purified, then you can enough. Otherwise you will become a pretender. Vityatara Kalpate is there. Okay. So you have to be completely purified. That's why a sannyasi has to be a liberated soul. In other parts, like in Ashtanga Yoga, in Jnana Yoga and all. Whereas in the Bhagavad Bhakti it is said, even if you are not sufficiently purified, still you are allowed to completely surrender to Krishna. You know this difference between the two? Anybody knows the word? Tattva sadharmam charanambujam hare padanna patvottapate kato yadi tattva vavastra magura mushyakim kova sa ato apatitam padamataha. So this verse says, this was spoken by Narada Muni. He says, very simple meaning, tattva sadharma. He wants to use up his prescribed duty. For what purpose? Charanambujam hare. For taking shelter of Supreme Lord Krishna. Bhajan apakvota pate tatoyari. Because of apakvota, immaturity in his bhajan, he falls down. Narayana is asking the question later, what loss is there in such a fall down? On the contrary, if someone is performing his prescribed duties very nicely, what gain is there in such performance of prescribed duties? It's really a very challenging shloka. And this is deep shloka to understand also. See, tell me what benefit do we get by performing prescribed duty? Anybody can say? Let us understand from that point. If you do a prescribed duty as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, what benefits you will get? Yeah. He says, you make it diverted to the post of a demigod, yeah. Yeah, Urgam Gacchan Sattvastha. If you are a mother of goodness, you become elevated to the heavenly planet. Isn't it? Depending on, if you perform one's duty properly, then one gets some benefit from that. But that benefit is also material. Like you can perform duty as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. But if you perform your prescribed duties very faithfully, without reference to God, then you will be again and again be born into the world. Like somebody is very good in this life. Like somebody was asking this question, if you don't harm anybody, is it not all right? Will I have to become a devotee and chant Hare Krishna? What is your answer to that? If somebody says, I don't want to chant Hare Krishna, I don't want to wear Kantimala, I don't want to take prasadam, these are all too much for me. But I will not harm anybody. I will be a good person. Is it that? If you are a good person, you will be born as a good person millions of times. Again and again in the material world. And what is wrong with that? You have to suffer birth, old age, disease and death. So, if one performs his sadharma nicely, if somebody says, I am a good husband, I am a good wife, I am a son. Some people say, you know, I have to serve my father and mother very nicely. So that will give you a good birth later. You may get a beautiful body or you may get a good intelligence, or you may be born in a rich family. But that will not assure you the kingdom of God or achieving liberation, going beyond the material world. That is the result of one's performance of Swadharma. Whereas he's telling, on the contrary, if one uses up one's Swadharma for the sake of surrendering to Supreme God, Krishna, Tattva Swadharma, one uses up his prescribed duty. Somebody can give an example for this, where somebody gave up his Swadharma for surrendering to Krishna. Vishwanatha himself, his old mother and a young wife, they both were embracing each other and crying, but they didn't have to do sannyas for the sake of preaching to the world. Srinivas, what did you do? That is very elevated person. Somebody else can say somebody else. Namaste, what did you do? Yeah. Yeah, correct. Now people have got the point now. Now everyone knows we one sannyas example came and they have another five sannyas examples. Yes. Please understand one thing, when we talk of giving up prescribed duty, not only taking sannyas. Not only taking sannyas. Giving up prescribed duty can be anything. Like Parikshit was the king of the world. He gave up prescribed duty of being a king to go to the Ganges and hear Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days. He surrendered to Krishna like that. Okay, now can you tell an example where one gave up his prescribed duty to surrender to Krishna, but then he fell down from his standard? Very good example. Pakka example, I don't know how everyone caught this same example. How did you all know? You studied this first before. That is actually a very ideal example. So it is said, Yodhistajan, Dharastan, Sukhrat Rajan Hridhishthira, Jaha Yuvava Maravat Uttama Shokarara. See? I don't think you have to subscribe to him. For the sake of devotion service, he didn't give up. He gave up his subscribe for Brahmana for? Yeah, exactly. But Bharat Maharaj, he gave up his kingdom, he gave up his wife, his children, his kingly duties, everything, and he went to the forest to become a devotee. So that such an endeavor is greatly appreciated by Krishna. Such a he says, Nahi Kalyana Sukhati Durgatim Sadharata. So although Bharat Maharaj, because of Apakvata, he fell down to the body of a deer. But even in a deer's body, he was a very austere deer. He was eating only dry leaves, and he went to the Parahasrama. In Parahasrama, he was seeing the saintly people having discourses. And even then, he was crying tears and he was experiencing ecstasy, even in a deer's body. Can you imagine? He was a very special deer, divine deer. So he could take their association. And throughout that life, it is said he did not associate with the other deer. He was always associating with the saintly people. And then he left the body and then became Yadabharata like that. So Narada is saying that there is no God. That is one very deep point. Let us try to understand that point. Like if somebody is supposed to perform certain physical duty, but he has given up. Like some people ask us, when he joined as Brahmachari, people sometimes threaten us, they say, oh, you have given up such an enviable job, you are earning 25,000 rupees. In such a wonderful company, in a big position, you have given up everything, and you have joined the temple, and there is no security, you don't have any bank balance. Tomorrow, if something happens, what will happen? What will you do? Who will protect you? Who will care for you? And if you become old, and you don't have any wife to attend to you, or if you later on want to marry, what will happen? Who will fetch you? Who will give you money? Who will give you protection? Your parents may be dead and gone, and you may be alone in society. What will happen? So sometimes you get this kind of fear when you see Brahmachari is leaving everything and joining. But Krishna says, Master, don't fear. Manekam Saranam Vijay Saranasani, Aham Kaunsa Papaji Mokshe Shami Manchester, don't fear. He says, I am giving you the assurance. And he is saying, Aranyasante and Tamam Yajana Padipatite, Keshami Tyadhana, Yavakshema Bahamyaham. He says, I will give you, I will preserve what you have, and I will provide what you lack. So you don't fear. He says, surrender to me. I will supply all the ingredients. Even when Vidari, he wants to break his bow, he had a thought. He said, break my bow, this hunting is my only profession which fetches me my daily food. What will I do if I break my bow? He asked Narada Muni, you really ask me to break this? So what will I do? Who will fetch me food? Narada Muni said, I will send you food. He just break this bow. So he gave his duty. That was his duty as a hunter. He gave up that and turned to Narada Muni. Narada Muni arranged for his prasad. How? He got him the Hare Krishna mantra. That's the way he arranged his food. Simply he chanted Hare Krishna and everything that he needed was supplied by Krishna. So, such a fearless surrender is expected on the part of a devotee. But due to some kind of immaturity, even if a devotee falls down, normally say, there is no law. Like once you were warned by your spiritual master, you were telling, you all have given up your father, your mother, your brother, sister, family, society. And you have so many debts to so many people, you have given up. But now you should take up Krishna consciousness. Full swing, very seriously. Because if you don't take it up, first thing, what will happen? In the next life, one may even get a lawyer birth of a chandara, or one may get the body of a yavana, because of giving up the prescribed duty. Like now, some of us took up brahmacharya. Some brahmacharya in the joint, parents are literally crying. We have broken the heart of mother, broken the heart of father, and we have given up duties to brothers, sisters. Some of the brahmacharya can't do that. So if one is anything like that, giving up one's physical duty, certainly that leads to sinful reactions. And Prabhupada says, even due to such sinful reactions, if a devotee falls down again, or if it is very likely he doesn't complete the devotion service, commits in sinful activity. Like sometimes Prabhupada initiated some devotees who fell down, isn't it? They became sannyasis or they became brahmacharis, but then they fell down to lower habits like breaking the regulated sinful, to sinful life. So what will happen to them? They may become low-born in the next life. But there is some duty in that. What is the duty? They will not forget the devotional service they performed in the previous life. What is it actually mean? Ahopata Shapacha to Varyan. If a person is a Shapacha, but he is reciting your holy name in his tongue, that means he has already performed all Vedic sacrifices and things like that in the previous classic day. So who is the Shapacha? He was actually well situated devotee in the previous life, but due to his fall down, he has assumed the body of a Loban, Chandala, or a Yavana. But the devotees that he has performed, that is never lost. That goes along with him, even in the body of a Shapacha. Otherwise, he becomes Loban. So, now let me ask you a very tough question. Would you prefer to perform good activities and be a good Brahmana and get the body of a Brahmana in the next lifetime in a good family? You have nice palatable dishes, you have nice father and mother, you have a nice job. Would you like to be born like that with no devotion in heart? Or would you like to be born as a Shapach or a Chanda in whose heart always the Lord's holy name is ringing? Which was what would you prefer? How many have to say second? Okay, how many have to say first? Nobody. Probably I put the question like that, I think. There is, because I asked the question in a little biased way. So, I am very sure some of the people are thinking in their mind, why did everyone choose second? It's been special pressure, everyone raised their hand. It's a little difficult thing to understand. We should be ready even to fall down in devotion service, if that is part of destiny. But little, as far as possible, we should try to avoid fall down and try to perform devotion service so that we make it in this very life. Very life if you want to go back to Krishna. But if you don't make it, when you fall down to lower species, not lower species, Krishna says you will not fall to animal species. You will only fall into a lower body, you may be born in a slum here or there, but your heart will be, you know, your heart will be throbbing with devotion for Krishna, because you already performed devotion service. Wherever you are born, that's where you see sometimes the slum children, they have so much devotion for Krishna, sometimes. Even sometimes the most fallen people, like I was reading in one place, it is said, those who are great devotees in their past life, some of them are placed in the Malaysia and Javana homes in the west, so that Prabhupada can go there and perform the leela of preaching to the west and bring those Vaishnavas to India, and that way expand the preaching all over the world. So some of them will be placed in Malaysia and Javana homes like that, but the devotee should be ready for taking anybody if his devotion service can be preserved. So that is what Krishna says, Name Name Bhakta Kanashati. The bhakti that has come in the heart of a devotee will never be perished. It will never be lost. It will never perish. So this is a very difficult thing to understand in a neophyte stage. For the sake of bhakti, preserving bhakti, one should be ready to go to any extent. If I can read this purport, you will understand this point. Suppose a transient list is supposed to give up all material activities for the sake of spiritual advancement in life, Krishna consciousness. One may argue that by Krishna consciousness one may attain the highest perfection if it is completed. But if one does not attain such a professional state, then he loses both materially and spiritually. It is enjoyed in the scripture that one has to suffer the reaction for not executing prescribed duties. Therefore, one who fails to discharge transcendental activities properly becomes subjected to this reaction. That means, see, he is supposed to perform all the prescribed duties. Like for example, a celibate in the ashram. He was already living in the society. So he is supposed to perform his duties to father, mother, brother, sister, Devarishi, Buddha, Pranam, everyone. So he gave up those duties and here he has come to perform transcendental activities. But here also if he becomes a Nityachari or if he falls down, that means he has not perfected that also, he has not perfected this also. That is why he gets a lawyer first. Now he has spent here. One has to suffer the reaction for not executing prescribed duty. Therefore, one who fails to discharge transcendental activities properly becomes subjected to these reactions. So, as for example, Narada Muni in his first life was a Gandharva. So he was a Gandharva. Once he went to a meeting amongst the demigods. But he went with many Apsaras. He was Gatana a Gandharva. So he was surrounded by all the Apsaras and he was singing with them. The meeting was going on, but he was not paying attention to the meeting. He was just singing and enjoying with that. So the demigods became very angry and they cursed him that he became a Dasaputra. So immediately became a Dasaputra. But although he was a Dasyaputra, in the next life, he got the association of great Vaishnava. And by that association, in the next life, then he became Nadamuni like that. So, like him, he was cursed to become a Dasyaputra. Similarly, if one doesn't perform his special duties, he is cursed to take a lower path. If one doesn't execute his special duties. The Bhagavatam assures the unsuccessful dancing place that there need be no worry. Even though he may be subjected to the reaction for not perfectly executing prescribed duty, he is still not a loser, because auspicious Krishna consciousness is never forgotten. And one so engaged will continue to be so, even if he is low-born in the next life. Now you understand this point? It's very clear? On the other hand, one who simply follows strictly the prescribed duties need not necessarily attain auspicious results if he is lacking in Krishna consciousness. So somebody who lacks this devotion to the Lord, who cannot cry out the Lord's name, he is simply going to take birth after birth. Although he will be performing his prescribed duties very nicely. So a Brahmana might become a Brahmana millions of times. Kshatriya king who has executed his duties may become a Kshatriya millions of times. But unless the Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya understand that the goal of life is something there, Hari Doshanam. Accepting Lord Hari is the goal of life. They have to become devotees. Only then they can purify their existence and return back to God. That's the conclusion Prabhupada writes here. The only auspicious activities are those which lead one to liberation. Any activity which is not aimed at ultimate capitalization or liberation from the material body, bodily concept of life is not at all auspicious. Activity in Krishna consciousness is the only auspicious activity. And anyone who voluntarily accepts, the Prabhupada has given the innermost meaning of his words in this particular line. Anyone who voluntarily accepts all bodily discomfort for the sake of making progress on the path of Krishna consciousness can be called a perfect transcendentalist under severe austerity. You understand this point? The Prabhupada says one who exhibits Krishna consciousness is actually a Kalyanakrita. He is actually a Kalyanakrita. And he is accepting a lot of austerities. Like preaching is not an easy activity. When you preach, there may be so many people who are opposing preaching. There may be demons who try to stop preaching. There may be arguments. And there may be a lot of difficulties in expanding preaching. If one voluntarily takes up these difficulties, that is an austerity. Like I was telling the other day, like if someone is waking up early morning, performing Mangala Arati, wearing the deities, dressing the deities, offering flowers to the deities, offering bhoga to the deities, these are also austerities. So one who accepts different types of trouble for Krishna's sake is considered to be the perfect transcendent. He is the perfect transcendent. Even if we give up, we should give up for Krishna, not for our own fame and name. So such activity is called as the most auspicious activity. So it's not only sannyasi or brahmachari giving up things. I can give you an example even in grihastasam. For example, there are grihastas who are fathers and mothers. But the father and mother sometimes tell their children that you cannot chant Hare Krishna. You have to eat meat at home. You have to see television. Like some parents become annoyed with their sons. What is this? Why have you become too much serious in spiritual life? This is not befitting you. You have to become a businessman next to me. I am a businessman and you are my son. You have to become a businessman. So you should know how to drink liquor, how to drink beer, how to smoke cigarettes, and how to mix with materialistic people. You have to be a part of the world. You are in the system. Now you cannot just go away from it, you know. They become very insistent to their children. The children try their best. See, they are Krishna conscious devotee. Sometimes he has a tough time making materialistic people understand what he is doing, what he or she is doing. So he may try to adjust the situation and try to live with the father and mother. But sometimes the father and mother talk to the children so much that they may have to give up the parents and they might live in a separate place. So that the parents will not trouble them. So they may not be able to serve the parents. So that is in one sense the giving up of the duty. But on the contrary, they are performing what? Krishna consciousness. This is actually called Sharanam Saranyam. They have taken this proper shelter. They also have austerities like the celibates or sannyasis have. Dresses also have austerities perform like that. That's part of the dharma. Like for example, sometimes people perform this Pindada Kriya, year after year for their parents. But do you know what the parents are going to get, the Purvas, the ancestors are going to get by the Pindada Kriya? They will only get elevation to the heavenly planet. That is the benefit they are giving. But on the day of that Shraddha, if you are chanting Hare Krishna Mantra, if you are singing Hare Krishna for their benefit, then they will be promoted to the spiritual world. Even if they are not totally spiritual, but they will get a spiritual benefit. That is why in Vishwakarma movement, we don't perform all the different material duties, but we perform spiritual duties. And we are allowed to give up such material duties for the sake of Krishna consciousness. It's not that one has to give up all material duties completely. If one is able to be Krishna conscious while exhibiting those duties, then it is not wrong. But sometimes the situation may come in the life of a devotee that he may have to give up some of his material duties for the sake of surrendering to Krishna. So even if he surrenders like that, even if he is apartheid, so here is a case where one has given up material duty, one has fallen down from the spiritual standard. Here Krishna says, such a person, Durgatam, he will never achieve the Durgatam. Even if he falls down, what is think of one who does not fall down? What is think of one who does not fall down and wants to elevate himself? He can achieve complete purification and go back to the kingdom of God. In fact, Robert once gave a statement that if one chants 15 of the Mahamantra every day and follows 4 Vedic principles throughout the life, then he is assured of returning to the kingdom of God. Prabhupada said. Then a great devotee of the Lord says something, then it becomes Lord's obligation to fulfill that statement. And Narada Muni made a statement to Narakur Manigre that you both will become trees at the courtyard of Nandamara and Krishna will come and deliver you. He made a statement and went away. And Krishna was obligated to fulfill that statement. Lord is obliged to his devotee. So, although Krishna would not have given this opportunity, because Prabhupada made the statement, Krishna is obligated to fulfill that statement. So it's not the life if you don't give up Krishna consciousness. In this very life, you all can return to the kingdom of God. It is possible. This is actually promised to Srila Prabhupada. But even if due to some circumstances one gives up Krishna consciousness, yes, there is no loss. Whatever you have done, that is stored in that. Very safely. It will come with you in the next class. Actually, maybe next to one sloka we can say, the next sloka may be difficult, maybe one we can say. Prapya punya kritam loka Ushitva shashati samah Shuchiram srimadam gehe Yoga prashto vijayate Unsuccessful yogi after many, many years of enjoyment on the planet of the pious living entity is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. So the unsuccessful yogi is called as a yoga prashta. Yoga prashta. So such a person Krishna says here, what happens to him? If one is performing Krishna consciousness and he falls down from the path, where does he go? He goes to the heavenly planet, Prapya Punya Kritam Loka. Anybody can guess why he goes to heavenly planet? Why is he sent to heavenly planet? That means a devotee who is a neophyte devotee in whose heart there are lots of material desires for enjoyment. He can't filled with desire for material enjoyment. He also wants to do devotional service, but his heart is filled with desire for material enjoyment. So he's doing devotional service and due to that material desire only has fallen down. So what does the Lord do with him? He sends him to heavenly planet so that he can enjoy. He can fulfill all his material desires. And then he comes back to this Matsya Loka. And when he comes back, where is he again born? When he falls back to this earth? In either of the two families, Shishina, Srimata. Either he is born in the family of a Brahmana or he is born in the family of a rich man. So if he is born in the family of a Brahmana, what is the advantage? From childhood only he can get the opportunity to learn the Brahminical habits and again cultivate good sanskara. By which later he has a second chance to take the devotional service. He may take devotional service, and one is a Brahmana family. Gradually one goes there and has one day unborn devotional service and again continue where one left off. Or if one is born in the rich family, then all one's basic necessities are taken care of. You don't have to worry about food, clothing, shelter. That is why sometimes you find very rich people very inclined to devotional service. Like you find in a moment Henry Ford, at Ford, Ambarish Das, Alfred Ford. In Alfred Ford, he was initiated by Srila Prabhupada. Becoming initiated is not an easy thing. He sends him down to Hare Krishna every day. So, like that, sometimes somebody may be extremely rich, but still you will see a devotional inclination in their heart. How does it come? They may be yoga prashta. Yagavasya means they must have been unsuccessful yogis in the previous life. Now they are again born in such rich families and they are given an opportunity. Or somebody born in a Brahmana family also. Some people who are born in Brahmana family, inherently they have some kind of good qualities. I'm not talking about every Brahmana family. Sometimes somebody is born in a Brahmana family, right from childhood he picks up very good habits and when he grows up, he can learn yogis and service. So in this way, Lord gives them an opportunity. The real purpose of yoga practice is to achieve the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, as explained in the last verse. But those who do not persevere to such an extent and who fail because of material allurement are allowed by the grace of the Lord to make full utilization of their material propensity. That means they want to end their material propensity, that's why they are sent to heaven. And after that they are given opportunities to live prosperous lives in righteous or aristocratic families. Those who are born in this family may take advantages, advantages of difficulties and try to elevate themselves in full Krishna consciousness. Correct? So in this way, somebody who falls down after performing little Krishna consciousness, this is his duty. And somebody who has performed a lot of Krishna consciousness, and then if he falls down, what will happen to him? That is said in the next verse. If you will see in the next verse. There is a difference between the two. Difference is, this is talking about a person who has not completed his perfection in one lifetime. Like for example, all of us, we may be chanting, doing things, but at the time of our death, can we assure that we will be pure devotees? We may still have material desires. There are many, many devotees who die with material desires, isn't it? So they will be taken to heavenly planets to enjoy. But one who falls down from the devotional standard, he has suffered reaction for that. Like, you know, he has not performed his material duty, he has also not performed his spiritual duty, but from spiritual standards he has fallen down.
But you said
that
he has fallen down from his
standards. Yeah, he has fallen down from his standards, yeah. Here actually Krishna says they are not lost. See, when he says Nani Kalyana Krishna says, Durgati, they are not lost. When Krishna says they are not lost, he means even if they get a low body, still, as Baba writes in the purport about the low body, isn't it?
No, I'm talking about this
Shloka. That Shloka is actually talking about ancestral yogi who was not completed. Yes, Krishna consciousness. Like Baba writes here, the ancestral yogis are divided into two classes. One who is fallen after relative progress and one is fallen after long practice yoga. Yeah, Prabhupada is fallen. The yogi who falls after a short period of practice goes to the higher planets where fire breathing energies are also entered. And then sent back again to the sanctity take birth in the family of a righteous Brahmana, Vaishnava or of aristocratic merchant. Actually, it depends on what kind of sinful activity one performs. If one has performed a very deadly, like for example, you know the case of Chota Haridas. He was actually banished by the Lord but simply because he had too elastic on a woman like that. So this is one simple activity considered a fall down. But there are different levels of fall down, right? But Prabhupada writes about somebody having fallen down from devotional life, suffering in lower birth. Prabhupada writes after here. But here, when Prabhupada writes, one who is fallen after little father, that means he has given up Krishna consciousness. Like it happened given in our Krishna consciousness movement, isn't it? If somebody is coming to classes and then he is doing Krishna down for maybe 2-3 years and then he has given up Krishna consciousness. So he has fallen from the path. And then he may be doing his fiscal duties. You get the point, no? He is a Krishna consciousness. So he is in one sense considered fallen. From other standards he is fallen. Back to his fiscal duty. But he is not doing a sinful activity. But if somebody in the ocean life falls back to illicit sex or gambling, interpretation, that is considered very simple. So part of it has to get a bigger reaction. Is it clear or is it
doubtful?
Oh? You can get a low body like that, Chandala, Yavana, Shudra, something like that. So one who has taken to Krishna consciousness should not perform sinful activity. Why? Because you have vowed before the spiritual master and Agni and deities, everyone, that I will follow this four regular principle and I will chant Krishna down every day. That means you are going against our vows. Somebody is a neophyte devotee who has performed little Krishna consciousness and then he has given up for the sake of And I was telling, you know, one boy, there was a boy called Purnananda. I cannot forget him. And he was going to the PhD college. So he was chanting 2 rounds, 4 rounds, 5 rounds, and he came to 7 rounds. In summer vacation, he went home and he returned back. I was very happy. After a long summer vacation, he has come back safely to the class. I was very happy. I considered him very weak in devotional life. But he told me that this is my last class, he said. Why? Because my father and mother are not pleased by my chanting Hare Krishna. So I had given up chanting. He said, when he went back, he never came back. You know, there are people like that. For the sake of performing the set duty, they give up Krishna consciousness. They're not a big fault, but they have chosen prescribed duty instead of Krishna consciousness. So for little performance of that Krishna consciousness, he may, why we fell down because of some material allurement, you know. Maybe allured materially, so he may give up this for that. Go there. Like somebody wants to earn a lot of money, they say, you know, Prabhuji, you starve me for the coming 3 years. I'll work very hard and earn about 10 lakhs, 5 lakhs, 10 lakhs. In the meantime, I will not chant Hare Krishna, I will not follow principles, I have to go abroad, do this, that, everything. And then after 3 years, I will completely give everything that I have. I will become a full-fledged devotee. But when they get into this 3 years thing, for another 30 years, they won't come back. Like that. So they are devotees, but they are materialistic devotees. Because of some material allurements, they give up Krishna consciousness. It's a simple activity. Yes, correct, yeah, definitely. You were born in lower family? See, the past, bad history of a person is very difficult to trace. But for example, if you see somebody who is low born, but is showing some interest in Krishna consciousness, they also want to chant and follow certain principles. That means it may be that they have performed some agyasubhruti in the past due to which they have some little inclination for Krishna consciousness. Yoga Prasthi is a very great thing. Especially one who has performed a lot of Krishna consciousness in Poland. Such people are very special people. In fact, Prabhupada writes in the next purport, his own example, himself and Prasthantara is writing. But others, they serve because of some material allurement. So they perform little Krishna consciousness and they left it. Because they were having attraction for material and desirement. So Krishna says, okay, at least you have begun Krishna consciousness, so you satisfy all your material allurements by going to heaven, and when you are finished with that, then come back and continue where you left them. So they continue from where they left them. Otherwise, just imagine, somebody born in such an aristocratic family, although I told you that they have the basic, you know, food, clothing, shelter, they also can misuse that money. Is it not? How much they can misuse the money? They can go for wine and women, and they can ruin themselves. But some rich people are not doing that. They come to temple, they get Krishna consciousness, some of them even become initiated. Like I was telling about Ambarish Dada, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, people like that, you know. Even after being so affluent and wealthy, they want to become Krishna conscious. You can see that. That means suddenly they have performed some Krishna consciousness in the past and they have left it. You know. Now they are continuing where they left off. So at least we should see that we don't leave it midway. We continue throughout the life. See, one thing, a yogi, earlier we saw in the 6th chapter, earlier in the earlier part of the chapter, that who is the actual yogi? A yogi should be ready to become perfected in several lifetimes. He may not become perfect in one lifetime. He knows that the ultimate perfection may even take a few lifetimes or even many, many lifetimes. So, if possible, if one is very intensely executing devotion service, in one lifetime one can become perfect. But if one is not intensely performing, then throughout the life you at least don't give it up, continue. So wherever we leave it, from there we will continue in the next life. Of course, that is certainly far from the standard, especially if he is initiated. If one is initiated by the spiritual master, and if he says, you know, only 1 month I didn't chant, but he has to suffer for that 1 month something. That is very simple. Actually, then the very principles, you were there in Sunday lecture in the temple. So I was telling you, when you commit sin, what happens? Committing sin not only produces reaction, it produces simple proclivity also. So when you break the very principles, gradually may fall lower and lower. Again and again, you may want to perform sinful activity. For such people who give up for a temporary period of time, Although it depends on how much material desires they have at the time of death. See, why they are sent to heaven? Because they have material desires. Like one boy was asking, oh, I don't want to go to heaven, he was telling. You know, he was telling, oh, please, Krishna is telling, but if you go to heaven, there will be so many apsaras, there will be Nandanandana garden, I will become a little more, and I will forget Krishna completely. So I said, if you really don't want to go, he will not send you there. Why should he send you? If you are really detached from sense enjoyment, he will not send you there. These are people who want to give up Krishna consciousness because they still have material attachment. They want to enjoy. This is very easy to understand. There are so many devotees in this world who want to do devotional service also, and they also want the material enjoyment. Like the father of Ramanathas Goswami, Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar. They were actually materialistic Vaishnavas. Srimapapu told once Ramanathas Goswami, your father and your uncle, although they are devotees, they are materialistic devotees. They are not pure devotees. So he told them actually that they want to pose as devotees, but they are maintaining their material attachment. They are not able to give them up. Like an anchor. There are many people like that. People who do devotion service like a little entertainment. Like a bit of devotion service. They cannot make much progress. It's like, you know, you are tied to the ground by so many ropes, you cannot advance fast. So Krishna consciousness demands complete attachment to Krishna and detachment to materialistic things. Like that.
So sometimes he does not have
That is actually called as sinful proclivity, kuta. So that sinful proclivity can turn into bija, no? Turn into a seed, desire seed. So one has to resist such proclivities by sincere devotion service. And the presence of propensities will go away for Vedanta. If one performs sincere devotion, intense devotion. All of them are example of Ajamira, it's a beautiful example. Ajamira, in the midst of all sinful activities, he cried out the holy name of Narayana. And then God answered. Similarly, even if one has performed a lot of sinful activities due to which one's heart is filled with sinful desires, still if one chants the holy name sincerely, those sinful tendencies can be counterattacked. It's possible. One can resist such sinful desires. And gradually one can nullify all the material desires in one's heart. It's possible. We all will see in our devotional life that as we progress in Krishna consciousness more and more, gradually your desires for enjoying material life reduces more and more. Like all of you here, I am not going to ask you, but I am sure that you all must have seen at least once in a week movie before coming to Krishna consciousness, isn't it? I am not going to ask how many of you. That is right. But you all have a tendency to go for movies. Why are you not interested now? I don't know whether anybody is going now. I hope you know. Generally, devotees don't go. They don't like to go to cinema theater. They don't like to go to restaurants. They don't like to go for parties. They don't like to go to the beach and simply spend their time seeing scenery. Devotees have all the time meant for Krishna service. How did one lose such material tendencies? Yeah, because of high faith. When you get a high faith, a lot of things and all will go away automatically. Similarly, even once Kamala Krishna Goswami, he made such a wonderful statement. He said, when they were all with Prabhupada, there are many brahmacharis, young boys, who wanted to actually become brahmacharis. They had not taken up sadhana. They were wearing white and white, but they had just shaved up their heads, living as brahmacharis. The same ashram, there were even girls also living. That was the brahmachari ashram, brahmachari ashram. So at that time, book distribution, they all used to do together. Girls, boys, all of them used to talk, laugh, chat, and they used to distribute books. He said, we never thought in our life, any sinful thought in our mind, that we can enjoy this women. Although actually we were talking with all those women, they were not young girls, they were young boys and they were young girls. But the thought of sex enjoyment never even crossed our mind. He writes in the Sarvatra Sarvati today. How is it possible that a young boy and a young girl, they are living in the same ashram, they are meeting every morning, they are doing mangalarti, they are going for book distribution, they are sharing their experiences, not have attraction for their life? It is actually the consciousness of the spiritual world. In spiritual world, even if a Gopa and Gopi meet, they will be only talking how to serve Krishna. And they have no separate life other than Krishna. Similarly, husband and wife, although they may live in the same apartment, live together, they lose taste for all material life completely. Once they develop an attraction for Krishna, Krishna becomes the center. It has been seen in our moment. Aishwarya Prabhupada's time is coming down the line. You can see how husband and wife completely, sometimes it is surprising, they live life like sadhus. In a moment, we can say. Like this family, just as an example, they are the perfect mother. Such an example, giving themselves utterly every moment in Krishna service. So how is it possible? Because of a higher taste. When they get a higher taste, one can give up all material inclinations. Such a devotee has no time for mental activities. In fact, he is thinking how to expand my time more and more for Krishna service. Every minute, it's called a Kavyatta Kalaswam. 1 minute he will not waste. He always is making plans how to expand my services for Krishna. So if you have the tendency, your taste for Krishna consciousness increases, then you will not even know where your material tendencies are gone. They will fly.